Hello, learners, and welcome to Learn On Podcast, the science show by kids for kids. I'm your host, Jansi, and today I'm here with a very special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I would be happy to. My name is Joy Rios. I am the host of the Hit Like a Girl podcast and do a lot of work in health IT.
Yeah, we're super excited to have you here today. And because of our overarching theme of digital health for this season, I'm really excited to hear your perspective on all of the work that you do. So first, just to get started and give our listeners some background, can you tell us what health IT is?
I would be happy to. The way that I define health IT is the intersection of where healthcare meets technology. So imagine anytime you are interfacing either with a doctor or a healthcare system or even an app that is tracking some of your healthcare data, all of that is kind of a new industry that, like, when I was a kid, you know, a lot of things were done on paper. And so the health IT aspect is moving the world as we used to know it on paper into a more digital and technologically savvy way so that we can track information and you can start to see trends over time and you can see population data from, like, you know, wherever you live, and if you move to where I live, that it follows you around and that kind of gives a bigger, more complete picture about who people are and the health that they carry with them.
Yeah, I think the theme of seeing more prevalence of technology in medicine is something that we've been exploring here on the podcast for a really long time. And it's becoming more and more apparent even in our personal everyday lives when we go to the doctor for a checkup or anything like that. And so it's really nice to kind of be able to name that in a concrete field so that we can better understand those developments as they're happening over a longer period of time. And so I'm curious to know more about your educational background and how that helps you in your current work and how you began your journey into healthcare IT.
Yep, it was not a straight path for me. I actually started out as an English major. I loved reading and writing and anything with storytelling. And I really felt strongly that you could learn a lot about the world just through reading about it, history, et cetera, politics. And I started out as a journalist, thinking that I was working for, well, I was working for a magazine, did a lot of writing and editorial work, and it was actually in surfing. It was a women's surfing magazine. That was the first job I had outside of my college university track. A few years later, I then went on to get a master's in business administration, and that education really focused on sustainability. So it wasn't really just like business for the sake of business, but how do we do business to make the world a better place? How do we make sure that we're conserving the environment and making sure that people are well taken care of, et cetera? And then it was actually family business. I kind of didn't know that I was in health IT or that I had a family business in health IT until I was an adult. And looking back, it was really just something I only saw in hindsight. But I had an uncle who had a business that had to do with document management. So imagine papers, where he would, like, scan a bunch of papers that were health records and then turn that into something digitized so that you would be able to see it eventually in software. And so when I finished with my MBA program, I went to go work for him. And then I started this down the road of health IT and got a ton of certifications. And so kind of stacked up probably 10 different certifications in the health IT field almost 14 years ago now.
Wow, that's really exciting to hear. And I guess let this be a lesson for all of our listeners that it's never too late to change. And often interdisciplinarity can be a great strength, bringing a unique background from one field that seems relatively unrelated to something else. So thank
100%.
You for sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then something that you have talked about a lot on your podcast and with the work you do is the need for more diversity in this field. So was there a specific turning point or realization when you kind of decided to focus on this further?
Yeah, there was. It happened in 2016-ish, and I had had a specific job that I was traveling a lot, and I was working for a healthcare organization, not necessarily the one a provider of healthcare organization, but their clients were healthcare organizations. And so I would fly all around the country to talk to these different doctors' offices and their staff, and I was helping them understand healthcare law and navigate it and kind of submit information that the government wanted from them. And I found that the majority of people that I was working with, the people that were like running the show, ultimately were a lot of women and women of all kinds of different backgrounds. But when I would go to conferences, it was not reflected. And so what ended up happening is that I went to a one particular conference that was talking about itself as like the future of healthcare and the future of innovation and the future, future, future. And it was lacking a lot of diverse voices. It was very much a lot of people who looked very similar, and I will say like older white men up on the stage. And so there was just something in me that I just decided, you know what? We can't count on people to necessarily do the right thing in and make the world the way we want it to be. If there's a change that I want to see, I needed to take more responsibility in making that happen. And so that was the start. And that actually kind of drove me to start a podcast where the mission was to amplify the voices of women in healthcare and health IT field and just give them a stage.
I think I've definitely had my personal fair share of experiences in like STEM classes and just seeing the voices that are amplified more on the stage when it really matters when people are listening. And of course, like I'm only 15, I still have a lot more of the world to experience. But the fact that I've already become so aware of it, I think really highlights how important it is, this work that you do. And so I loved listening to a couple of the recent episodes of your podcast. And can you tell our listeners more about what you focus on with your guests?
Sure. So I try to tell as a wide variety of stories. And so when people say, "Hey, what's the niche in healthcare or health IT that you talk about or amplify?" What I have come to realize is that healthcare is crazy complicated. Like it's just there's no one right. Like you know, a third of the economy of the U.S. economy has to do with healthcare jobs. And so people from all like in so many ways are contributing to the healthcare system. And I feel like there's a lot that we wouldn't know about if we didn't have a way to see it. And so I invite guests onto the show to kind of hopefully highlight pieces of the healthcare puzzle that we might not otherwise see and give these folks an opportunity to share about how they're contributing, what ideas that they have. And so it can vary from mental health solutions for kids in schools to Best Buy. I just recently spoke with somebody like Best Buy, the tech company. They do teen tech centers and they're teaching young people how to get more involved in technology, but they're also using those folks to help them reach the senior community who are getting care at home. And so how can literally, when you think about like the geek squad of like people like think of your grandparents trying to like get on the internet or doing something with technology that they might not feel that comfortable with, and somebody coming in and saying, "Okay, let me check your connection and we'll get the right password in," and making sure that they have the right access and ability to use the technology that is gonna, you know, ideally monitor their health in some way. And so we have done 400 women over about 300 episodes. And so all of them have a slightly different way that they contribute to the healthcare puzzle.
Wow, that's incredible. The statistic of one third of the economy in America being built around healthcare really struck me. And I think also when we tend to have conversations about healthcare, it's very easy to take an approach that's just centered on people with a medical degree, the doctors, the providers. But there's also so many other incredible roles that people take on with technology, especially becoming more prominent, and all of these other jobs in healthcare. And so I think it's wonderful that you're able to highlight all of these different aspects of healthcare and healthcare IT especially. And I'm
Well,
just curious. Oh yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
yeah, no, because I'm like, I think a lot of people, and I would assume your age, like you get to see doctors and nurses and maybe like the front office folks, But there's so many other people that are involved on like billing and making sure the people understand the data. Like we had one listener, this was probably a highlight for me when people say like, hey, like what impact have you made? And there was a college student who switched her degree from nursing to nursing informatics. And those are like, they're definitely related, but it was a job she didn't know existed before the podcast. And so I was really happy to be able to share that.
Yeah, and especially as technology becomes more prominent, more important than ever in healthcare with digitized records and the use of artificial intelligence and other technologies and diagnosis and treatment, it's really easy to think about the people who are behind all of this technology as kind of separated when they're equally integrated into the whole process of taking care of patients. And so I think it's wonderful that you're able to highlight so many stories, and having talked to 400 women is incredible. It's such a big number. So I'm
And
just
it's still
curious.
like a drop in the bucket. That's the thing. It's like there's so many more stories to be told. Like, I just feel like our work is barely beginning.
I'm sure that there are. Yeah. And has there been like a specific maybe lesson that you've learned throughout your experience in podcasting that comes to mind having worked with all of these people?
Supporting one another. I feel like one thing that we have been taught as, you know, women or underrepresented folks in general is that like we're each other's competition. And but I don't think that I don't view the world that way at all. Like your success is my success, is all of our success. And like more than anything, I want to see more, you know, underrepresented voices just like taken into account and truly heard. Like I think that that's a big missing puzzle. And when I think about the future of technology and specifically where we're headed, like AI, for example, and machine learning. Like, if we're not actively taking a stance of trying to right the wrongs or the biases that are getting built into that technology, we're really in danger of scaling something bad. And it's just like, okay, well, we don't want to necessarily magnify, you know, everything as it is, if it's already imbalanced and doing a disservice to folks. So let's try to get to the root cause. And that is one of the areas that I feel probably more motivated than ever to like, okay, how can we influence and get more diversity into specifically into technology so that it does better by all of us?
I especially loved the phrase that you said, that your success is my success. And especially when so many people get pushed to the side to amplify other voices that are maybe overrepresented, it's really easy to take on that competitive mindset when really focusing on uplifting each other and celebrating each other's successes is more productive and more helpful for everyone. And because healthcare is such a collaborative field, and as it becomes more and more interdisciplinary with the integration of technology, I think it's great that you're helping to kind of make this approach of collaboration more of the standard.
I appreciate that. I also think that there's something about kind of accepting the fact that none of us are gonna know everything and none of us should know everything. Like you're gonna be an expert in what you're an expert in, and I'm gonna excel in what I'm excelling in. And hopefully those two work together and support one another to make each other stronger. And I feel like that whole concept around even like imposter syndrome, like who am I? Why do I deserve to be here? But the reality is we all deserve a seat at the table, and what we have to say matters. And ultimately working together and supporting one another, like if I make my community stronger, they make me stronger. And it's like a two-way street. And I feel like that's something that's been lost a little bit in our society. So I'm actively trying to change that.
No, I completely agree. And I think I especially have personal experience with that because my school uses kind of an alternative teaching method that strays from the typical like lecture-based style of a classroom. So our classes are roughly 12 people each, and we have round tables where everyone comes to the table and offers something in the classroom. And so for humanities courses where we might be discussing a reading, we all kind of sit down and just see where the discussion takes us, what points come up. And it's like all of the classmates are each other's teachers. And something that kind of every student that comes to our school realizes is that when you're new and you're getting used to this method of collaboration, it's really easy to think of it more as competition and to try and get in as many points as possible and to really shine at the table and dominate. But as you know, you grow with more experience, you find out that it's much more productive to give space for others to listen and to actively reflect on others' points, to use names and add on to each other's points instead of it just becoming kind of a thing where we all go around the table and list off points that are separate. So
Right.
I guess like that really felt like a metaphor for exactly what you were saying, in that it's so much more productive for all of us to take on that method of collaboration, and we're all just able to uplift each other and learn a lot more when we do it that way.
And I think a big part of that, like you touched on it a little bit, is the act of listening. I think that the act of listening to people is one of the biggest gifts that we have to give. It's literally just giving them space to speak their mind and learn from each other, and not in the sense that like, oh, I'm waiting so that I could just say what did I have to say, right? I'm like, no, I'm actually taking in what it is you're saying so that I can incorporate it in and learn from it and hopefully be better. And then, you know, it becomes less of this like one-upmanship. It's more like working to like truly working together.
Yeah, I think that's the best form of collaboration, when you're actually able to incorporate and integrate what you learn from someone else into something that you already had to bring to the conversation, and really reflecting and echoing each other's ideas while giving credit to those who kind of came up with something originally. So, yeah, I think this is like, I feel like a big light bulb went off in my head, because this analogy or this way of thinking I already had previously about like the way we learn in the classroom, but it's really interesting to think about how it really applies to all other aspects of our life, and especially this field
Well,
as well.
even thinking about healthcare, like it is so complicated and people get so focused in their lane, right? Like imagine researchers and people that are in a lab. They're just so focused on what it is that they're doing that they might not even be thinking about all of the other different specialties and patients and, you know, issues that people are experiencing or technology that is coming up and in the field and how they can leverage it or use it to, you know, to maybe enhance something that they're all offering. And that's the part. It's just like when we get stuck on our own piece, we lose sight of the big picture. So
No, this was definitely a great lesson learned. And to kind of pivot a little bit to another one of your projects, I guess. So you are the co-founder and CEO of Chirpy Bird. So can you tell us more about what inspired this and what you do in this company, and what's your role specifically?
I will tell you that my role there has actually come to a close, but it's a happy ending. And so I started the podcast and co-founded Chirpy Bird Health IT Consulting at the same time. And that consulting company was a team of people who I'd like to think of it like this is just like layperson's talk. I feel like it's kind of like doing data taxes. Like every year, you know, your parents have to do taxes on their income, right? Well, healthcare organizations are also required to submit a bunch of information to the government on an annual basis, and it has to do with like how they care for their patients, what technology they use, what are the measures that they're tracking, and how have they improved from the year before, and also how much are they spending, right? Like what's the cost of the care that they're providing? And so Chirpy Bird is a consultancy that is set up to help individual and independent clinicians basically do their health data taxes. That's it, on an annual basis. And so that also involves security risk analysis and making sure that that's a whole thing where making sure that the technology that is in use at a doctor's office, so all the computers, anything that gets connected to the Wi-Fi or internet or even offline, like the servers, that they all are secure and protected from getting, you know, either corrupted or what is it when people like try to get ransom. Like, oh, we broke in, we hacked hackers. That's the word I'm looking for. And then also making sure that they have the right administrative rules and protections and, considering things like privacy. And there's things that you wouldn't even think about. Like, imagine you're going to a doctor's office and they've got a screen up. If they walk, if a medical assistant or a nurse, for example, walks away from that screen, they need to, and walks out of the room, they need to make sure that somebody can't come in behind them and access people's information. So there's all kinds of settings and details that a doctor's office needs to go through to make sure that they have, that information is safe, that the that equipment is safe, and that the people are safe, and that everybody understands what those rules are. So Chirpy Bird, that's what they do. I, at the beginning of last year, so I'm about a year out, exited. So I was able to sell my shares. And so now I'm focusing full time on Hit Like a Girl podcast and community building, and have actually growing. I'm growing into creating the Like a Girl Media podcasting agency to support more women thought leaders who are using the craft of podcasting and supporting them in getting their content out there. And so it has been a really cool year of transition of going to actively working in these medical doctors' offices to now supporting, thought leaders who are talking more about the industry. It's been really neat.
That's very exciting. And yeah, that was definitely a lot of things that I hadn't considered, especially because technology is so complicated and there's all sorts of privacy and data concerns, as you mentioned. It's great that people are able to get help with all of the responsibilities that come with that. Definitely really good food for thought. And so just backtracking maybe a little to what we were previously talking about with diversity in healthcare IT, we did call out a lot of what it really is and how you're working against that. But are there maybe any factors that currently come to mind that specifically hinder diversity in health IT? And maybe why is it important to have intentional conversations calling these things out?
I think that there's a lot to be said just around status quo, right? Like the world has been a certain way for a long period of time and then just continued to be more of the same. And if we're trying to make it more reflective of our reality and what we experience on a day-to-day basis, it's kind of weird to say it, but it's true that it kind of boils down to power. Who are the people that are making decisions? Who are the people that have the power to decide who we're going to hire? What is our budget? What are we going to spend money on? What is it that we decide that is important? And if all of the people sitting around the table all look the same, or, have a similar background, or they only come from like one cultural reference, it doesn't really do a service to the population, the entire population that they're likely trying to support and provide offering, either product or service offerings to. And so it's important to be intentional about that, because I think one of the things that if we want to do better, we need to not just be thinking about, okay, who's here at the table right now contributing to what conversation we're having. That's, like imagine we're at, in a boardroom deciding how we're going to spend all of our funds. We need to be thinking about who's not at the table, who is not here. And can we make sure that, what their insights and the perspective that they bring are brought in? There's a cartoon, and I haven't been able to find it, but it's basically a long table. It's just drawing. It's not even in color, but it's just a long table of a bunch of men sitting around a table, sitting there with their pens and paper and sort of accepting somebody who's coming in for an interview. And the woman looks nothing. I think she's a woman of color on the younger side. And they literally are like, so what do you bring to the table? And what they bring is exactly what they don't, what she brings is exactly what they don't have. And it is a perspective and insight and, access to a whole set of information that is really important, especially if you're going to be providing products and services to people like her. So Does that answer your question?
Definitely. And
Yeah.
I think, especially as we're thinking about ways to advance in this field and reasons to change the status quo, of course, like being able to offer equal opportunity to everyone to bring their ideas to the table and succeed in the field is a given, right? It's really important. But like you said, also being able to offer a new perspective from like a complete, I guess, I don't know if administrative is the right word, but just from a perspective of completely just analyzing the ability of the group of people that you're working with as a whole. As you said, being a minority immediately gives you a new perspective that other people wouldn't be able to provide. And especially considering like the breadth of patients that we're treating and trying to improve healthcare equity, having those perspectives and being able to highlight that at the table is incredibly important. So, yeah.
There's an example, and I always forget the name of this book. It's so great, though. It's such a good book. It talks about how the world was basically created, and not just in healthcare, in all these different ways, about how the world was essentially designed for and by men. And what I mean by that is, like, even when we think about the size of our cell phone, whose hands does it fit? Like, I don't know about you, but mine thumb can't reach to the bottom and also the top of my cell phone. I'm sure that for men they could, like, it's more accessible. And even in things like trying to figure out, like, okay, what's the shape or the size of the things that we hold in our hands? Or even when we think about cars, like, up until not too long ago, a lot of the safety systems designed for cars and seat belts and airbags were built around male dummy models. Like, and they've now, just now, like, turns out women's bodies totally behave differently because of their size and shape and whatnot. That if they're in a car accident, different things happen and it's more dangerous. And statistically speaking, more of us die. And that is part of it. It's just like, if we're not thinking about it from the get-go, there's a lot of unintended consequences for that can take place for people that are not included in that core group of folks who their perspective counted and that, their opinion was brought in from the beginning.
Yeah, I've always heard that phrase that the world was designed for men or it's easier for men. But those examples that you mentioned, it makes a lot of sense, but I just never thought of it before. And also in medicine specifically, something that I was recently reading about is how a lot of different medical studies a few decades ago would only have male subjects and they would automatically assume that it translates that way to women. And especially in things like clinical trials studying mental illness, they assume that men and women's brains automatically translated in the same way, and it doesn't work that way. And now that entirely changes how we diagnose different conditions and it can invalidate patients' experiences. So I think it's incredibly important that we call that out and we actively work against that.
And you, like, take that and times it by like a million, because you can basically take even pain medication that you're just like, oh,
Right.
well, 250 milligrams might work really well for men, but women might need 800 milligrams in order for it to be effective. And so, like, there's just so many unintended consequences from that. And it's decades of the way that we've been doing things. And so it's not going to stop unless we put our foot down and say, okay, this needs to stop.
Right, and that's especially why your work is so incredible because it's so inherently built into the system that we have to work really hard to actively be against that. And so, to kind of wrap up, my last question for you is, and we've kind of touched on this previously, but the field of health IT is rapidly accelerating and it's growing at a pace faster than ever before with recent technological advancements. Of course, everyone is talking about artificial intelligence. And so, what should we keep in mind regarding this pace of development in the perspective of trying to improve inclusivity and diversity?
I think a lot of it has to do with showing up, right? Which is something that you're doing. You're like showing up to be part of the conversation and making sure that you make your mark. I would advise your listeners, and I know it's not very exciting, but to be thinking about policy. Because on a grander scale, technology is something that affects all of us, especially, you know, when it comes down and we purchase it or we interact with it. But the policies that are made at either a local, state, regional, or federal level affect all of us. And they can absolutely be more supportive of certain demographics than others if we're not careful, right? And so one of the things that is important to think about is that a lot of our policymakers are not necessarily doctors, right? They're not experts. And so making sure that they are given information that helps them make wiser choices that are supportive of everybody, right? That's one example of many, but I would say thinking big picture outside of the box, how can you make a difference? And also not feeling like you need to save the world. If you can just do one thing and make an impact in one area, and if that happens to be right outside of your door in your community, that is something to be incredibly proud of, you know, and it matters.
Right. Yeah. I think being able to highlight the massive role that policymakers have on impacting this field, even if they're put in a position where they need to make a decision about something that they're not as educated in, is really important, considering for how many decades maybe that one decision will impact and how many people it will
Right.
impact. So being able to bring in the expertise of people who are well versed in that field. And especially because, as we just talked about, how systemic the bias against women and other minorities is, especially in healthcare, since we are making so much policy to accommodate for the fact that this field is growing at a really fast pace, this is a really important time to be able to build new things and to counteract the policies that have worked against these groups in the past. So, yeah, I think it's definitely something really important that we need to have more conversations about.
Well, I am so grateful that I got to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Me too. Thank you for joining us. I definitely learned a lot, and I'm sure that our listeners will agree.
Well, I can't wait to be a regular listener. So thank you for all that you're doing.
Thank you.